All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Taxi Squad Podcast. Today is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024, and we are back with your Week 25 weekend preview. So as Craig always says, let's start up those fares and get into it. Welcome to the pod, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for listening. My name is Jay, and I'm here tonight with Alan, keeping the van cab warm in Craig and Maddie K's absence. Alan, how are you doing tonight?
Dude, I need more anti-anxiety meds. This week is nail-biter. It's for all the marbles. And it's hard. It's really hard not to tinker, even though I only have one more ad in my league where I'm in the finals.
I feel that so much. Oh my goodness. Like, I'm like checking the different ones. I happen to be fortunate enough to be in like two finals at the moment, and I'm just like switching tabs, checking on, and I definitely can tell that my opponents have clearly had reasons for why they are in the finals against me. Like, every time I think I'm pulling away, there I am rubber banding back, and it's tight, but hoping the best for your fantasy week and hoping the best for, I guess, all our listeners as well. I guess we'll just jump into it, right? We'll jump into our injury report in the infirmary. And the first bit of news is Morgan Riley, right? So he has been day-to-day for the past little bit, at least during your quarterfinals or your semifinals. But he is expected to be back on Wednesday versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. So the Leafs only actually have that Wednesday game and Saturday against Montreal for the rest of the week. So you obviously probably, I think, with Riley want to start him and see what he produces. Obviously, a little bit of a downer that he was taken off the power play one. But, I mean, at the same time, I think Liljegren is also out, right? So there's a pretty decent chance. I think they're not going to stick with, what was his name, Connor Timmins. I believe they're probably going to throw it back to Riley if he's healthy, I would assume.
I would say, yeah, at that point, yeah, let's switch Riley back for Timmins. Tristan Jarry was supposed to start last night, and that's why I even remember seeing all the Twitter notifications and everything that, yeah, you know, starter's crease, he was set, and then he was scratched at probably the absolute last second due to illness, and Ned got that start, and as well as I think he's starting tonight. Tonight's game's a little closer, but I think they got shellacked on Monday.
Yeah, I think they were losing 3-1 at one point, but I'm looking now, and I think the score says 3-3. Oh, 4-3. Oh my goodness, they came all 4-3 the way back.
4-3 tonight, they just scored.
Yeah, so they came all the way back. I guess Jarry stocks back up, right? So
whenever he comes back, yeah.
Whenever he comes back. Also, sticking with goalies, Aiden Hill still has no timeline for return. He is not currently skating with the team. So Logan Thompson stocks way up. I know this week is not a great week. Actually, it's a terrible week to be streaming Vegas Golden Knights. But definitely, if you have, I guess, extended fantasy season past week 25 into week 26, I think the Knights actually have a pretty fairly busy and bustling schedule. Yeah.
I think they had one of the better schedules, so he may still be worth holding if you play week 26. But, I mean, at this point, you could probably drop him. Maybe you need the IR spot for something else. And then Vince Dunn returned last night, which seemed very out of nowhere. Didn't sound like he was even skating in a regular contact jersey yet, but he had 23:04 time on ice with a minute 51 on the power play. Although Riker Evans did get a little bit more time than him, and he was just over 2 minutes. But Vince Dunn had, in that time, one assist, two shots, and three blocks. So nice little return there. And I know Seattle plays tomorrow, Wednesday, and then Friday. So, yeah, get him at least for those off nights.
I think the big takeaway as well is Justin Schultz stocks absolutely tanking based on
rock bottom again.
Rock bottom. And he should be rock bottom of your roster as well. And then down drain with the drop button as well. I guess some Florida news in the infirmary. Matty Tkachuk was listed as out tonight early, and then I think Carter Verhaeghe got the out designation as well, way closer to puck drop time. So either way, both Verhaeghe and Tkachuk are out tonight versus Montreal. And I don't want to say this is preemptive, so to speak, but this kind of reeks of, we kind of think in the standings that we are relatively safe. Like, I don't think they were neck and neck with Boston, right? I guess they still technically are neck and neck right. with Boston.
Well, I think this is just like how Tampa had just recently, so like, oh man, Point and Hedman are day to day, but it was like they were playing the Ducks or something. They have Florida plays Montreal, which is turning into an absolute trap game. But I think this is absolutely like, if we were playing someone better or this would have a bigger impact in our standing, they would be playing.
And I think important to note as well is that this is one of the reasons we heavily on the taxi squad emphasize trying to get your leagues to play up to week 25 and probably not for week 26 because of the shenanigans that starts happening even early, creeping up. This is what, 10 games out, maybe slightly less for some teams, but you're already seeing the shenanigans where some teams are starting to drop guys, not drop as in drop them, but they're starting to rest guys or they come out with injury tags very close to puck drop time, right? And truth be told, I think this holds true across many professional leagues. I heard in the NFL first, but they said week one is generally when all players are quote unquote healthy and generally nobody resumes being fully 100% until the off season. So every player you see on the ice is generally carrying something, right? Like every person, at least something. They're playing through at least like a nagging injury of some sort. So for these guys at this point, with them being and readying for themselves for playoffs and upcoming, I guess, like grindouts of, you know, back to like not back to backs, but like literally every other night they're going to be playing on the ice for, if they make it all the way through the dance, what, 2 months straight? 2.5 months straight? This is the time now during, unfortunately, our fantasy playoffs where if the players need a breather or a night off, this is when they kind of want to catch up on a night's sleep, want to catch up on a night's moment of rest, or you just to stretch and ice the legs a little bit. Frick, if you had them on your roster and lineup, like, I'm sorry, they told you, what, 30 minutes before puck drop time? If you weren't listening and you weren't on Twitter or you didn't have internet connection during that time, you're toast.
Dude, I even barely saw that, and I'm like, well, that's really not much time to do anything. Sorry, guys. I will say this probably Tarasenko stonks up. I know he had an assist at least tonight.
I think it was three. Like it was like 3 points last night, wasn't it? It was something.
Yeah, busy. He had an assist tonight, and then I think a couple nights ago he had like 3 points. I think you're right.
Oh, Tarasenko. Oh. It's the heartstrings.
But yeah, not quite not an injury, not a real big story. But Ryan Hartman suspended 3 games for a boneheaded move. I guess there was a call at the end of the game or a call that impacted the game. I didn't quite catch it, but threw his stick and it happened to be in the direction of a ref. So he was, I'm sure, ejected immediately, but then they handed him a 3-game suspension. So that stinks because Minnesota had a really good schedule to kind of end the week. Or your season, and now that's one less player you can try to stream for some nice games.
And I mean, we were just talking before the show as well, and isn't that like that Minnesota schedule, bad as it was for week 23 and week 24, it is juicy for week 25, and that is crazy unfortunate, right? Like we were mentioning too, that so many people had already burned their ads snagging up Ryan Hartman, and frick, I guess. Well, hopefully your league doesn't have...
Yeah, like I was telling you, he was one of the higher added players at the beginning. I think it was the beginning of this week, or maybe it was the end of last week. And I'm like, oh my gosh, guys, like he's going to get suspended.
I know. And look at that last game of the of our week 25 as well, facing the lowly Chicago Blackhawks. Like, you can totally see that game being a 6-2. Alan, you did mention a 6-2 in which direction? Who knows, right?
Well, no, that's the Blues. That's the Blues.
Oh, yeah. Like, that game against Chicago could honestly be the season decider, right? Like, it could be where, like, the witching hour, right? Where wins become losses and losses become wins, right? And it's kind of unfortunate that boneheaded play from Ryan Hartman might have cost that partaking of the win, right? Like, he could have been three assists on a Kirill Kaprizov or a Cheek, and, well, now he's going to be in a suit in the stands, you know, looking for the president's box or whatever you call it, the suites up top. So, anywho, I guess I'll throw back to you, Alan, for some schedule analysis.
Yeah, so, first off, 18 teams play on Sunday, so it's not quite an off day, but we're still going to stick to our Sunday is an off day spiel. So Friday and Sunday, the teams that play both those days are Anaheim, Arizona, Buffalo, Carolina, Colorado, Detroit, New York Rangers, and Washington. The other teams that just play Friday are Edmonton, Philly, Seattle, and Vegas. And then Sunday only teams are Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Minnesota, Montreal, Nashville, New Jersey, Ottawa, San Jose, and St. Louis. Streamers, still pumping Casey Mittelstadt, line two power play one, or at least getting the power play one with Nichushkin out. He's got two goals in his last three games, kind of like what another guy on that team should have gotten in his last three games. I don't know, Jonathan Drouin, which a lot of us picked up, you bum. Dylan Strome, line two power play one-ish. Looking at the last game, they gave him most of the power play time, but it wasn't always the same kind of top unit guys. Center 40%, 10 points in his last seven games. He had a power play goal tonight. And then last is Jake Neighbors on St. Louis. Left wing, right wing, 29%. Line one, power play one. He has 2 points in his last three games. And the Blues have a juicy, juicy back-to-back against Anaheim and San Jose later in the week. And they are a team that is absolutely fighting to get that last playoff spot. Goalies, Scott Wedgwood from Dallas, likely see Chicago on Saturday. Calvin Pickard, Edmonton, probably sees Calgary on Saturday. And then he did make his way to the NHL, and he's playing with Philly. Ivan Fedotov, a Philly, should either see Buffalo or Columbus, both kind of easier opponents. He did come in last night after Ersson was pulled and put up some pretty respectable numbers. I think it was like a 9-1-4 save percentage or something. And then big boy bangers, Luke Shen, Bang Daddy Shen, defenseman. He's only 13% owned. He has 23 hits in his last four games played. So it's about 6 hits a game. And then deeper cuts here. Kyle Burrows on San Jose, defenseman, 2%. He's putting up 3 to 5 hits a game in over the last few weeks. And then, oh man, Michael Pezzetta of Montreal, defenseman, less than 1% owned. He did get, I think, an assist tonight, but what he lacks in time on ice, he makes up for in hits. And the dude absolutely looks like Blake from Workaholics, for those of you who have watched that show. And I'm going to hand it over to Jay.
Oh my goodness, he averages 7 minutes of ice time and has 216 hits. That's 4 hits a night. What the heck?
Right? There was at least another point in the season where I thought about recommending him. I'm like, his ice time's too low. I'm like, nah, man, Montreal, they got enough games this week where those hits will be nice.
It kind of almost seemed like I need to watch some Montreal games and just look out for Michael Pezzetta. Like, does he literally get on ice and just hunt for the puck carrier? Is that all he does?
Say, is he an enforcer? Oh, he's not a defenseman. He's left wing. I assumed all these guys are defensemen.
This is nuts. That is definitely a deep cut. Like, Alan was not kidding when he said lacks in time on ice. Yeah, dude doesn't even get 8 minutes a night. Averages 750. This guy's got to be like top in the league in terms of, like, he's got to be at least top 5%, right? In terms of all hits. Yeah, he is comfortably top 15 in hits. Okay, anyways, so worth considering as well that this coming weekend strategy is going to be one where there are so many teams to recommend. So it's more so checking specifically in your lineup, checking specifically in your setup. What nights do you need ads? We're going to roll through. First, we're going to call, let's say, the Thursday through to Sunday. We're going to go for the sweet spot first, right? Like, if you chunked your weeks in half, you can have your Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and you're trying to gain 3 games played across the 4 nights in total, right? So two teams are going to match that setup in terms of the Thursday, Friday back-to-back and the Sunday. Those two teams that are juicy and great, Carolina, Washington, Carolina and Washington. Now, of those two teams, Carolina kind of has the same people we've listed over, but it's not, they're not power play one guys, right? Like, the guys will route off Teuvo Teravainen, 35% owned. He gets power play two. If he's available, and if you can fit him in your lineup, get him. Jacob Slavin's D1. He's also 32% owned. Frick, it's a D1 dude on Carolina. So feasibly, he's going to offer something. That team is going to score, likely to win. He's probably going to get some blocks because so few shots make it on net, right? So either they suppress the shot or they block it before it gets to the crease. So there's some value there. Evgeny Kuznetsov gets power play two time. He's only 16% owned. And Jordan Staal takes some face-offs. So in a face-off league at 6%. But Carolina's not the interesting team, really. Washington, with the exact same schedule, is the team where you have a lot more utility and circumstance for a lot of these players. Dylan Strome, Alan mentioned before, I'm not going to get into like crazy, but yeah, this is a power play one guy at 41%. Hell yeah, I'm taking him with a great schedule.
Probably still the highest scoring guy on the team. I don't think he ever lost that title.
I don't think so either. I mean, you also have like Rasmus Sandin, right? Like, do you remember last season, that stat you gave in the preseason? Wasn't this guy's...
Oh, God, I don't remember the exact stat, but it was like when John Carlson went out, that dude was insane.
And I mean, frick, like, think about John Carlson's injury history, health history, like, knock on wood, obviously I'm not cursing him or nothing, but like, you want this guy at 13% with a great schedule, basically, and you can fit him in. Max Pacioretty, right? Like, just remember how great of a player this guy was, and the shelled... I guess the husk and shell of him is still playing on power play one with the Washington Capitals. Like, you can still gain access to that. Frick, there's still Connor McMichael, right? Dude's a peripheral beast, was scoring and producing recently as well. He was on a little hot streak. He's at 5%. He's on power play two. He still also gets line one time with Ovi. So, heck, you know, you can do a heck of a lot worse. Now, this one's a little bit more of a deep cut, but that's where we're talking about utility with Washington, right? So, I looked for other bangers as well. So there's some dude called Beck Malenstein. He's 2% owned, left wing. He's on the fourth line, but he is on what? He's got 92 shots on goal, 209 hits, and 85 blocks. So basically, if you're rounding out averages, he gets at least a shot on goal, three hits, and at least one block every single game. I know in our bangers category, heavy, heavy league, that is immense value for a fringe 2% owned guy. And heck, if you're in a categories league, like, this guy probably should already be owned, but at 2%, like, there's a chance he's not. He is definitely a heavy target, especially if you need hits. Definitely worthwhile. So there's utility to Washington in a way that might not exist the same way for Carolina. And again, they have some of the best three games and four night schedules available this week 25. Also a reminder to anybody else, because for the longest time it was inverted, Charlie Lindgren is still somehow, like, the dude has started 9 out of 10 games, and he's played in 10 out of 10. Like, he's just started 9 of the last 10, and he still played in the 10th game he didn't start in and won that game. This dude is the only guy left in town and only guy playing, and Washington has, like, they were only selling... like, tickets because everyone was waiting to see if Ovi was going to come back to life and score some goals. Now, they accidentally walked into a team that is probably going to make the playoffs or at least be on the bubble for it, and Charlie Lindgren's a big part of it, and he's still, after starting 9 of 10 games and playing in 10 of 10, only 60% owned. So, maybe the other 40%.
I don't know how hard we want to pump that, though, man. He just got lit up tonight, like, 6 goals on, like, 31 shots for an 80-something save percentage. It's like that Loki meme, man. You got to be truly desperate to go to him for help if he's available.
I mean, he's definitely a 0G strat where the 0 comes in heavier than the G. But
I was going to say, his save percentage could be 0.
But at the same time, you probably want the double edge of the knife where he stands a chance. Like, wasn't he also pulling in? He pulled in definitely a shutout not too long ago, maybe like in week 23.
Yeah, he's been the better goalie all season. It's just I maybe really pick and choose who you play him against.
The big takeaway as well for any listener still here is I don't think the listeners would be, so to speak. But if, for some reason, dear listener, you are part of the Darcy Kuemper 43% ownership club. Like, that ship has sailed so far, it is already past the curvature of the Earth and starting its return journey. Like, he is not coming.
What are you talking about, Jay? It fell off. The Earth is flat.
he's on the other end. He's hoping for some centrifugal gravitational force to pull him back, because there is no Darcy Kuemper train. No more. The 43% really needs to switch over and turn Charlie Lindgren into the, geez, I guess, like, what, the 103% owned? Like, it's not even possible. But if you are, for some reason, holding on for dear life to a Washington goalie, it is not Darcy Kuemper. Please, listener, I know it's not. Listener, I know it's probably not you, but just...
I was say, those teams are probably eliminated or they fell asleep at the wheel after a month.
True. But either who, Carolina, Washington, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, 3 games in 4 nights. Okay, we're going to keep moving with the 3 games in 4 nights schedule, and we have some other teams to suggest, right? This time they are on the heavy Thursday and Saturday, but they do have the Saturday, Sunday back-to-back, and especially the ultimate game... The Sunday games, right? That's when your season is decided. So, first team off the bat, very good streaming option in terms of potential upside, the Columbus Blue Jackets, right? So, you have, to top the list, Johnny Gaudreau, 46% owned. He's everything, right? He's on the wing. He's on line one, power play one. The only negative caveat would be, they said illness, but I don't know what illness this is. Like, is this the flu? Is this the shits? Like, it seems to be keeping him out for like 3 or 4 games straight, or 3 or 4 days straight. So whatever it is, don't plan necessarily this week 25 weekend for him immediately coming back. Hope that happens. But, you know, I guess the caveat is I probably take Boone Jenner, finally healthy from sickness and illness, over any of the guys I'm listing. But Johnny Gaudreau, 46%. He still gets line one. Supplanting Papa Boone on line one has been kind of surprising to me, but it's Dmitry Voronkov. So the guy is line one, power play one as well. And the other guy, the last one, I guess, is Alex Nylander, who is also on line one, power play one. So that top line is, geez, definitely available. I think it's, what, 5% ownership, 3% ownership. So just go check who's available from there. You could also go to the, I guess, stick with the Blue Jacket power play one, but go to line two. There's Kirill Marchenko. Jeez, there's even Ivan Provorov, right? Like, all these guys, every single guy listed, Provorov, Marchenko, Nylander, Voronkov, under 10% owned. Even if you go in net, right? Elvis is out. So there's Daniil Tarasov. He's 6% owned. He's going to get pretty much every start remaining. They have, you know, no, there's nobody else to compete with him.
I don't know, dude. He was the one who was a brick wall against Colorado, ruined a lot of our Jonathan Drouin streams.
True. I don't know, man. Columbus is such a flash in the pan. Like, what happened all those years back? Like, flash in pans can even exist for 4 straight games is my big takeaway for this Columbus team. And anywho, Minnesota has the same Saturday-Sunday setup, and I guess I'm just looking on a couple of guys under 50%, right? So Brock Faber's dropped under 50% at this point. He's D1 power play 2, but I actually don't even know who's the power play 1 quarterback in his stead. I'd assume Faber would.
Oh, wasn't it? I think we brought him up before. Wasn't it Declan something or other?
Oh, Declan Chisholm. Yeah, okay. I mean, if you really want a power play quarterback, I guess you can also throw in Declan Chisholm. If not, there's a pretty dry roster aside from that, right? Like, you're moving on to probably Jake Middleton to get you some peripherals. He's at 6%. He doesn't get any power play time. Or you're going with power play 2 guys, right? Like Marco Rossi, Marcus Johansson. All these guys are under 5%. So maybe actually, Alan, I'm going to double back and say, heck, if you really need a power play quarterback 1... Declan Chisholm.
See, I still wouldn't pick that guy up. He hasn't had a point in, it looked like at least 10 games, whereas it looks like Brock Faber might be heating up back up a little bit. At least before tonight, he had like 3 points in 3 games, but nothing tonight so far.
Yeah, and Alan, I'm not going to die on the hill of Declan Chisholm either. I'm looking at it. I think most people agree with you. He is not only 1% owned, he is 0% owned, which means...
I think he's a warm body.
I guess we're hoping, listener, that the warm body happens to touch a puck en route to a Kirill Kaprizov or Matt Boldy, I guess, one-timer, but really throwing hope to the weeds here. There's no guarantee on that. Okay, past Minnesota. Montreal has an exciting setup, though. There are two power play one guys that you should get in order of importance. Juraj Slafkovský, you have to get him, 22% left wing. If you can fit him in, line one, power play one, great value to get in with the Cole Caulfields, with the Nick Suzuki's. And again, right, there's nobody else that could compete with him because his slot and spot used to be taken by, what, Monahan, right? Monahan's been traded away. So Alex Newhook is the guy if Slafkovský is already taken. He's still, Newhook still gets power play one. He's at 2% owned, but he is, mind you, center only. So I know Montreal ran with a three-headed monster in goal for a lot of the season, but Jake Allen's been traded, right? He is now the sole-headed monster in New Jersey, right? So the same way in Montreal now, Montembeau gets lion's share of the crease, and he's, what, 22% ownership. So definitely as well, if you're looking for, I guess, goalie starts, I think Montreal's pretty streaky right now as well. Like, I don't know if they've necessarily crushed competition, but they've definitely had some good games where I remember it was, what, 4-0 against Seattle, like, on, like, what, 6 shots in the first? So they definitely have some things going, and if their offense clicks on the night, Sam Montembeau could be in line for some wins as well. So there are a lot of teams, so I'm just going to roll through quick. Nashville as well has some names to rattle off. Gustav Nyquist is already, I'm already seeing him getting added up so quickly. He's actually just crested the 50% mark as well. He's now at 52% ownership, but he's a new addition to the line one, power play one in Nashville. And that's with what? They had, like, how many games did they win? It was like a 14-game point streak or something crazy. It was a lot of...
14, 16, something like that.
Yeah, it was a lot of wins.
Pissed off about something. That seems really pointed reference. I don't know what they'd be talking about.
What was it? V3? Was that the band?
Yeah.
Oh, with, man. So
Bono.
Who would have thought that that concert of all things in Vegas would have been the lighting of the torch? That's so funny that was the thing. But anywho, every time I see this guy's name and I see the number of hits he's gotten, like, it kind of looks like video game numbers. And I still don't think I would have gotten that on NHL 2004. Like, this is ridiculous, right, at this point. 39% owned. He's only on the second defensive pairing. But Jeremy Lauzon has 346 hits in 62 games.
Oh, dude, in that game against Arizona where he had 11 hits.
Is he basically that other player that we mentioned before on Montreal, except he actually gets ice time to hunt down the puck carrier? Is that what happens?
Right. I almost wonder if we need to audit these numbers in the other direction now. Like, now they're giving him too many. Something isn't right.
Oh, man. Like, if he had 246, that would still be a legendary player that we'd be suggesting. The record's, what, 382, I believe? So he's only, he's only, what, 36 hits off the mark? Like...
He needs more of those 11-hit games.
Yeah. Jeez. And, I mean, at the same time, it's worth going, listeners. He is 39% owned. So, not to mention, Jeremy Lauzon plays on the same team as the actual former King Banger's daddy and Luke Shen, right? Like, he's nowhere close to being the same. He's almost, like, half the number of hits available comparatively. But he's still got 185 hits in 55 games. That's still very serviceable. That's still 3.5 hits a night. And then afterwards, you have, what, Jason Zucker, Colton Sissons. These guys are just power play two guys. They're under 10% owned. If you can fit them in the lineup, take them. If not, yeah, it doesn't really hurt. Ottawa is basically two players, okay? You need Jake Sanderson or Shane Pinto. Jake Sanderson is at 51%, so he's right and crested above 50% ownership. But the key part right now is that Thomas Chabot is out. So Jake Sanderson's getting power play one. He's on the D1 pairing at 51%. Just go check to see if he's available. That is an incredible find if you can get a power play one guy this late, week 25 into the season. And then the other guy is Shane Pinto. Same thing. Josh Norris is out. There's no one else to compete with him on line one. The only thing is, let's be real, it's still Ottawa, right? They're still bottom of the Atlantic.
I don't know, man. They can play. They might be able to play spoiler some of these games.
Definitely spoiler. The only thing is, I think they are relatively top heavy in terms of scoring, and also top heavy in terms of ownership. Right, like Drake Batherson, I'm gonna say, is not. He's no slouch, Drake Batherson. But Drake Batherson is way, I guess, way more highly owned. Yeah, I just checked.
He was like 74%. So could be available, but most likely not.
74% is way higher in terms of ownership than a player that I would assume with Drake Batherson's, you know, skill set. Now, even lower and more insane is Shane Pinto is 21% owned, and I'm already saying don't own any of the other guys afterwards. But there's a next team, San Jose, where their most highly owned player is a player called Mikael Granlund. He's at 20% ownership. He is less owned than Shane Pinto. And yet,
he's the new Tomas Hertl. Like, he's going to play in all the situations. But he's, that's not bad. Like, what's he got? 6 points in his last 5 games? That's not bad for a stream.
Like, the San Jose Sharks literally are just in a downgrading scale, right? So they went from Timo Meier doing everything he wanted, and then Timo Meier left and graduated, and now it was Tomas Hertl, and then now it's Mikael Granlund. And I think in terms of quality, I don't think it's too anathema to say that they've gone down in quality with each player in terms of being the line one, power play one, whatever guy. This is a James Connor situation for any of you fantasy football fans. You just want the guy that's soaking up all the minutes, getting all the time. He's going to get 22 minutes a night to do whatever the heck he wants. I don't even think management knows what he's doing. I don't even think the coaches care. We're just going to ice him and have him do whatever he wants. And you kind of want the guys that are around him too, right? So there's Mikael Granlund, like all the Lunds, right? Fabian Zetterlund, William Eklund. Just get those three guys. And then Mario Ferraro, if you need any blocks. All these guys, by the way, Mikael Granlund's 20%. Zetterlund, Eklund, Ferraro are all under 5% ownership. And I promise you, if Granlund, Zetterlund, Eklund, and Ferraro aren't available, one of those other power play one guys will be. But, deep caveat as well, San Jose is probably one of the good teams in terms of, I guess, the weekend stream, but the best team that you need to tackle for the weekend stream is the coming team, the St. Louis Blues. Okay, so St. Louis, we're going to start first. Justin Falk, he's not really had the best season. He's been out for a little bit. His ownership is still way higher than what it probably warrants. If anything, the player that is this 23-24's version of 22-23 Justin Falk is actually the next player, Colton Parayko. And it's great for you because Colton Parayko is currently 34% owned. He's D1 pairing, only listed currently, but I mean, they switch Torrey Krug, they switch Justin Falk, they switch Colton Parayko on the power play one constantly. Like, you're getting them for peripheral floors, and if they get power play points up top, that's bonus. And even crazier, Torrey Krug, we just mentioned, is also 24% owned. And further, other guys that are in the same area, Braden Schenn, captain of the Blues, 31% owned. Dual eligible center and left wing.
Nice little bangs coverage there with him.
Right, they listed power play 2, but I actually am pretty sure I saw him at power play 1. Maybe it was just the end of the game.
And those units are pretty even anyway, if you look.
Yeah, like Buchnevich sometimes plays on the second power play, and I'm like, Buchnevich, he's probably like one of their best players on the team. Like most importantly, for anything or any suggestion for why the Blues are so great, they play the greatest possible back-to-back ever. If you ever needed a back-to-back to win you a league, this is it. They face off against San Jose. Great game. Should be winnable. Think of the revenge trap that's going to happen from the 4-0.
Should, Jay. We discussed this before the show. What happened last time? Everyone thought, oh man, wasn't it a Sunday game too? Where everyone loaded up on Blues players against the Sharks and like, yeah, this is cake. And no. That did not go well.
Alan was right in the sense, I don't want this to be famous last words, but at the same time, just thinking of a team in San Jose, some of these guys are really just getting their legs in the NHL for like the first time. Come on, right? Or some of these guys are icing it for like the last time. You know, it's their
Tank Commanders.
Tank Commanders, indeed. And St. Louis, they finally turned the streak around, right? So Right now, they're what, 6 points out of the playoffs? Oh, actually, I stand corrected. They're 3 points out of a playoff spot. I mean, mind you, the Kings do have a game in hand. But this team, for them to play San Jose in a revenge game, I definitely think the Blues could be part of that 6-2 game that we're talking about. Either way, right? But it could be
in 6-2. Favor of the Blues.
In favor of the Blues. Could be. Could be. The next game they're facing is Anaheim. So if they roll it, think about all that upswell and confidence and momentum that's going to come into that team. They're going to be going in and thinking, we're just going to roll down straight from Northern California down to LA and we're going to crush the Ducks. And it still works the other way, Alan. If they lose to San Jose, they're going to be still so hell-bent on revenge. And it still could be a smashing of the Ducks. And it could be the championship-winning game. So either way, I love the scenarios for St. Louis. I think St. Louis is just, like, the team to stream. Thinking of Anaheim, by the way, they also have the Week 25 Friday, Sunday off nights, right? So I don't want to read the whole Anaheim team out loud, but just keep in mind that everyone aside from Frank Vatrano is available. So like Troy Terry, Cam Fowler, Mason McTavish, Trevor Zegras, Alex Killorn, Ryan Strom, Jakob Silverberg. Heck, another team that's great on the Friday, Sunday off night, Arizona. Now, I know Sean Durzi is really highly owned comparative to all of them, but he's a just go check. He's at 56%. He's the quarterback, right? So definitely check to see what the power play quarterback for Arizona is doing. And then after him, you have the perennial underrated dude, Nick Schmaltz, 30% ownership, line one, power play one. Then you have Lawson Crouse, Logan Cooley, Nick Bjugstad, all these power play two guys, all under 30%. And then Dylan Gunther, right? 8% ownership, power play one guy. Definitely Arizona in the desert is worth checking as well to see for ownership, especially if you need and Friday, Sunday off nights.
Don't forget Josh Doan out there. 3%. He's up to 5 points in three games. And that, his shot rate's not bad. Like 6-5-1. Like that's, yeah, 12 shots in three games. That's pretty darn good.
Is there any relation to Shane Doan?
Yes. Okay. I forget how they're related. I should have looked it up. I don't know. I don't think it's a son. It could be, and I could be very wrong. But no, he's definitely related to Shane Doan.
Gotcha. I was like, what are the chances that a pretty unique last name like Doan has two? Anyways, it could happen. Like, wasn't Lemieux like that? Like, the two Lemieux were not related at all, and it was just like a happenstance that
could be. I always assume all those guys with the same last name are related, especially when you pull up their pictures and they look like each other.
Yeah. I mean, what was the other one? Like, some of those sports families are just incredible, too. Like, what was it? Darnell Nurse's sister also plays professional hockey or whatever. Nurse.
Yep.
It's like, yeah. Okay. So, Buffalo is another team that has the Friday, Sunday off night set up. Now, I think with Buffalo, the big one you have to get, first of all, is J.J. Paterka. He was at 13%. That is skyrocketed now. He's at 30%. But he's line one, power play one.
Yeah, I say 100%. If you make a Buffalo play, it's J.J. Paterka. 3-point night tonight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. You have to get him. You have to get him with the available guys. A 3-point night as a streaming option? That's the ceiling? Hell yeah, 30%. I'm going to take a chance on that. And, I mean, aside from that, there are other guys like Jack Quinn. I saw that he was on power play two. Zach Benson is on power play one, but I don't know how long that's going to stick. Colorado has a couple of guys that are of interest, but they might be gone. So, Arturi Lehkonen and Jonathan Drouin, even Casey Mittelstadt, right? He's getting power play two time. Ross Colton's on power play two time. Sam Girard's on power play two time. So, any of those guys you can kind of look to, it is mainly for mitigating purposes. I don't really think I'd grab any of them ahead of some, like, for example, J.J. Paterka. No, you're not going to grab him ahead. But if you're looking specifically or facing an Avs stack, I think it's definitely worthwhile to mitigate the offensive output by just getting any guy that touches the puck en route to a McKinnon, you know, one-timer or snapshot, right? And the last one to remember as well, and I think this is also for any longer-term leagues as well, Colorado re-signed Justus Enunin, and I think reasonably, given that, Alan, you and I mentioned Justus Enunin is kind of like a zero-G strategy, like, well, He's the iteration of the Colorado Avalanche playing 0G in real life. At 19%, I think this guy is definitely worth owning and checking, because he started, what, two straight games? I know he turned into a pumpkin against Columbus. But tell me at the beginning of the season that Justus Nuudin or whomever goalie not named Georgiev would have gotten two straight games, and I would have been mind blown. Like, I thought that was Georgiev's crease for days.
I mean, it still is, but it just, they're going to try to rest him before playoffs, so we might see more Nuudin.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. Now, after Colorado, there's only two teams left that have this three-game Thursday, Saturday, Sunday schedule, and that's Detroit and the Rangers, right? So Detroit is a matter of literally these power play two and power play one guys, Lucas Raymond, David Perron, JT Compher, Robbie Fabry. Of those, I definitely think Lucas Raymond is the he's definitely the highest owned and probably the highest ceiling of these guys. David Perron, I think, is a safer floor, right? Like, veteran player, 28%, gets power play one. Mind you, their power play ones have definitely shifted. It also really depends who's playing with Larkin. I feel like it doesn't matter what ice time they give. Whichever power play has Larkin on it is the power play one. And don't forget the line again, right? 36%. I know he's lost so many games for Detroit in a row, but bear in mind that he was also the guy winning a ton of games for Detroit early on.
But I don't know, Lions looks pretty good against those both those Florida games. I would pick him up over Reimer if I knew either one of them was starting.
Oh yeah, definitely Reimer is not. No, guys, I'm a Leafs fan, guys. Like, Optimus Rhyme's always gonna hold a special place in my heart, but no, like, not for my fantasy team. You know what I mean? Like, Alex Lyon, you're gonna hear him roar or he's gonna curl a meow. Either way, like, you gotta ride with him and see what he's got. With the Rangers, I'm really sorry to everyone, but I have to say, when we suggest Rangers streams, as we said from week 22, 23, 24, all the way through, we're really saying Alexis Lafreniere. Like, we're saying the Rangers, but we're really just saying, is Alexis Lafreniere available on your waiver wire? If he is, pick him up now. Okay, and then now we're going to roll on into some back-to-backs. There are Friday, Saturday back-to-backs, Edmonton and Philly. Now, Edmonton is not that interesting. It's really, is Adam Henrique available at 30% ownership right now and power play two? If he is available, take him. Philly is another team. If you can fit them in on the Friday, Saturday back-to-back, they are great value. They have, like, Travis Sanheim. I know he's banked a lot of points early and he doesn't have the same deployment anymore, but he's still racking up peripherals and he's still accruing points. Definitely worth a stream. And then you go into players like Garnet Hathaway, 301 hits in 76 games, 18% ownership, gets no power play time, only is on line four. You're basically getting him if you value hits or you're trying to secure and shore up hits, but he has immense utility there. Joel Farabee, Scott Laughton. Both of these guys are, what, less than 20% owned and are on the power play too. And then you go into some sneaky, sneaky values. You have Jamie Drysdale, power play one quarterback, Tyson Forster, Morgan Frost, right? Like, the beneficiaries of Couturier being out are Tyson Forster and Morgan Frost, right? These guys are the wingers and the centermen that are getting that power play time and line one, line two deployment that is vacated by a Couturier-level player getting injured. And then for, I guess, the final back-to-backs, we have, like, Saturday, Sunday, there's Chicago, there's Dallas, there's New Jersey. I mean, Chicago is, oh, God, Alan, it's really hard to suggest streams. Like, Foligno and Kurashev are under 10% owned and get power play one.
Oh, is Nick Foligno not on line one anymore? He was, like, the guy to grab for a minute.
Yeah, he's on line two now, but he still gets power play one. But, yeah, I don't know. It's Chicago, right? You really don't know. Geez, I'm even going to say, too, like, Peter Mrazek's under 30% owned. Like, if you want bulk starts, he's probably getting two of three for this coming weekend. But who's Chicago even facing? I think it's, what, Dallas and Minnesota? Like, who is Mrazek going to get? Mrazek's probably going to get the Dallas game, I'm assuming, which is the less winnable game. And I don't know if I trust Soderblom, like, to even win against Minnesota. No. So, like,
Toronto, yes. I think that wasn't that the stat. Like, two of his wins on the season were the against Toronto.
Yeah. Can we have an immediate schedule shift, NHL? Can we swap them out? Or anyways, so Dallas is the next team, and I mean, Dallas is really hard. I think in terms of value, like, Logan Stankoven is probably the high-risk, high-reward play. So I still remember in other fantasy managers, remember that game where, like, geez, Dallas was down, like, 6-2 somewhere, like, deep into the third, and they pulled out in gutsy win. Logan Stankoven was part of that third line that, together with Wyatt Johnston, just scored a ton of goals. He racked up a ton of points. So if you are looking... I think if you are trying to secure a game, you go with Tyler Seguin. If you are throwing balls to the walls and need a high-risk, high-value play, Logan Stankoven at 13% is definitely the play you want to go for to try to secure some of that high upside. They play against Chicago and then the Colorado Avalanche, and it really depends who gets who, but Scott Wedgwood is probably worth the stream if... probably only if they get the easier one. I don't know if I trust Wedgwood against Colorado.
No, no. I don't even know if I trust Ottinger lately against Colorado. He's been rough lately.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a sieve. And for Colorado, I don't know. Like, that team is just so good, right? So deep. Anyways, that's Dallas. And the last team with the Saturday Sunday back-to-back is the Devils, New Jersey Devils. So... geez, it's really hard to suggest skaters. Like, we're talking Dawson Mercers, Eric Halla, like Simo Nemec. If, like, I don't know, all these guys have power play 2 access. But the real value probably is in goal. Jake Allen, he's the new guy in town. And obviously at 37%, he's probably available. I'd probably still stream Allen, honestly, against the Nashville Predators. But definitely less enthusiastically, if I had to be honest.
Okay. That's what, yeah, I could see Allen getting the Nashville. Like, they're both pretty equals. So it's going to be a crapshoot. But yeah. Jake Allen will get at least one of those games. And Kaapo Kähkönen should get the other.
Aside from that, we're kind of talking about, I guess, like, good value Friday streams. Mind you, Seattle is going to be a hard one because we're suggesting Seattle, but they don't play any games after this. So you're really hoping they pump the Ducks, like absolutely pump the Ducks, which could happen. But like some of these guys are what? Adam Larson, Jordan Eberle, Matty Beniers, Oliver Bjorkstrand, Eli Tolvanen, Andre Burakovsky, Jaden Schwartz. Like every single one of these players, power play 1, power play 2, not Adam Larson. Adam Larson only gets, I guess, D1 pairing. But all these guys are under 40% owned. Many of them are under 20, 25, 30% owned. So if you need top pairing guys and you want good streamable matchups, Seattle is a good week 25 Friday option. Just some suggestions, listeners, especially in this week. I will say no matter what happens in week 25, it is a way juicier streaming week than anything week 24 had to offer. And either way, best of luck. And yeah, with these suggestions, I'm going to send it back to Alan.
Yeah, well, that's going to go ahead and wrap for tonight's show. We'll park the van cab. As always, we ask all you future champions to like, subscribe, and leave us a review on your platform of choice. You can also follow us on Twitter and YouTube. All that info is in the show notes. It's also where you can find the YouTube channel for the Sit Start Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. If you haven't already, come join us on the 5-Hole Discord. And then again, if you can't make the live show on Saturday, you can leave your questions there and we will answer them on air. Good luck and good hockey this week, and thanks for listening.
We'll pick you up later.